From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. A member of the inner circle of Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi has reportedly defected to Egypt to protest Gaddafi's deadly crackdown on protesters. Gaddaf al-Dam, who's a cousin of Gaddafi, says in a statement from Cairo, reported by the Associated Press, that he has seen grave violations to human rights and human and international laws. NPR's Jason Bobien in Cairo says Gaddafi has tightened his grip on the Libyan capital, Tripoli, but opposition groups are widening their control of other areas of the country.
People fleeing into Egypt report scenes of joy and bedlam as Colonel Gaddafi's control of the east of Libya collapses. Opponents of Gaddafi took to the streets in celebration, but many of them were also armed with weapons taken from the military and the police. Libyan officials on state-run television called on people to turn in all the guns that have been looted in the last 2 days. Gaddafi's daughter also appeared on state TV to deny reports that she tried to flee. She reportedly was on board a jet on Wednesday that Maltese officials refused to let land at their airport. Tripoli appears to be remaining relatively calm and still in Gaddafi's hands. Residents in the capital say most people are staying in their houses, despite calls by the government for everyone to return to work. Jason Bobien, NPR News, Cairo.
President Obama says Libya's government will be held accountable for the violent crackdown on protesters. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the president is considering a full range of options.
The White House is considering steps the U.S. can take on its own towards Libya, as well as possible actions by the U.N. and other international bodies. Mr. Obama is sending Secretary of State Clinton to Geneva next week to discuss a coordinated response with U.S. allies. In the meantime, he's repeating a State Department warning that U.S. citizens in Libya should leave now.
We are doing everything we can to protect American citizens. That is my highest priority.
Even as Americans flee that country, Mr. Obama says the U.S. will stand up for the rights of the Libyan people to determine their own destiny. Scott Horsley, NPR News. The White House.
In New Zealand, rescue crews are looking for the more than 200 people still missing in the city of Christchurch after this week's powerful earthquake. Although hope is fading of finding any more people alive under the rubble of collapsed buildings, New Zealand's Prime Minister John Key says the search effort will go on.
All we can do now is continue what we've been doing for the last 48 hours, aggressively try and work to get anybody out that may be still alive. Give the comfort and support that we can to those families, and for them to know that in their darkest moment, we are thinking of them and they're in our hearts.
At least 98 people have been killed by the earthquake. A judge in London has cleared the way for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange to be extradited to Sweden. Prosecutors there are seeking to question him about allegations of rape and sexual abuse, allegations Assange denies. This is NPR News from Washington. Around-the-clock filibuster by Democratic lawmakers in Wisconsin is now into its second full day. They're trying to stall a plan by the state's GOP governor to strip most public sector employees of collective bargaining rights. Cigarette makers could soon have to run ads with so-called corrective statements about their past behavior and the dangers of smoking. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports the tobacco industry is balking at the Justice Department plan, which stems from a landmark federal racketeering lawsuit against the industry.
The statements include, smoking kills 1,200 Americans every day. We manipulated cigarettes to make them more addictive. That's how we keep customers coming back. Federal Judge Gladys Kessler ordered the corrective statements as part of her 2006 ruling that cigarette makers lied for decades about the deadly and addictive nature of their products. If she approves the government's wording, the statements will be posted on cigarette packs, at retail stores, on corporate websites, and in the media. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
Crews at the Kennedy Space Center will begin fueling the Space Shuttle Discovery within the hour in preparation for a launch scheduled for late this afternoon. This will be the 39th and final flight for Discovery, which has flown more than 140 million miles in space. Launch Director Mike Leinbach says it's going to be an emotional day.
It's kind of bittersweet that we get the last flight out of her, but she's going to perform perfectly fine on orbit and bring the crew home safely.
Discovery's mission to the International Space Station has been delayed since last fall as engineers fixed cracks on its external fuel tank and a hydrogen gas leak. NASA expects 40,000 guests at the Kennedy Space Center today to watch Discovery's farewell launch. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News.
Support for NPR.